For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to Adam Carriker on The Ticket on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Adam Carriker on The Ticket. Hope you're having a glorious Friday leading into an even better weekend. Real quick, you can always check out the Carriker Chronicles on the Tube of You. Check out Carriker Chronicles on YouTube, also CarrikerChronicles.com. All things 93.7 The Ticket on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, TV, radio, theticket.com. They're everywhere. All right, ladies and gentlemen, real quick, I want to introduce my next guest. Now, he's an astronaut, avid Husker fan, award-winning author, speaker, professor of practice at Iowa State, president and CEO of the Strategic Air Command and Aerospace Museum. I think I mentioned, but avid Husker fan, Mr. Clayton C. Anderson. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you, dude?
Dude, I appreciate you joining me. All right, so right off the top, I'm not going to lie. I just watch videos of people in space, and I look at some of the things you'll put out on X, and I just get butterflies in my stomach. I'm a guy who grew up hating tight spaces, deep water, and heights. Okay, I'm much better with deep water. I had to get better with heights. I had no choice. Tight spaces, and if you turn the lights out, I'm going to freak out. So that's still not great for me. But, like, what's it like being an astronaut, going into outer space? Like, what is that like, and what is that training like? How do you get used to that?
There are a lot of different factors that go into all that. You know, when I first applied to become an astronaut and actually got invited to Johnson Space Center to do all the preliminary testing, that's kind of where they scope you out and they, you know, they put you in a little inflatable ball and make you sit in there for 40 minutes and see if you freak out and things like that. And,
yeah,
you know, none of that seemed to be a problem for me. I would usually just take a nap.
Because
I was always
okay.
Exhausted. But as you go through it, you know, I think a lot of people think maybe the way you do, but once you get into space, it's not that bad. It's actually pretty cool. And the things that you do and the things, the way your body adapts, it will make every human capable of being in space at some time or another, right? Most of your blocks for height and being underwater, all that stuff is mental, right? If you can do it, and somebody's there to coach you and tell you it's safe and you're sure of your equipment and you practice, all those things get rid of the fear such that you can then perform the task. And I think most people are capable of that.
Yeah, I think that's my thing. Like, I know statistically as far as flying. And again, I'm much better with flying than I used to be. But for me, it's like if something goes wrong in a car, I can pull over. Even in an airplane, it ain't so easy. So I think that's what gets me. It's the lack of trust in the equipment and people I don't know that put it together. But, okay, so you're in outer space, and you're kind of like you're in charge of the equipment. If something goes wrong, it's on you to fix it, and you're doing everything that you're supposed to do on that particular mission, whatever that may be. I mean, what is that like handling, you know, issues that may come up while you're up there?
It's kind of like owning your own house and worrying about maintenance of your house. There are certain things that you can do pretty easily that don't require training, like change the filter in your AC. Or perhaps you can even work in the tank of your toilet, right, and change the float valve or whatever it is. There are some things that are just kind of understandable. They're easy to figure out. And the same thing is true in space. A lot of the equipment is designed to make it easy for you, but then a lot of it's not. And then that's where the training comes in. And sometimes you need special tools, so you have to be adept with those. And they train you quite a bit. The problem I had was some of the stuff I got trained in my first year of training, I didn't even think about until I was in space 4 years later, right? So yeah. I had forgotten so much of that that you have to recall in your brain, okay, wait. Somebody told me about that at one time, and you can look in your little notes and see if you have anything that helps you recollect. But then the nice thing is you have the ground with you, and you just call them up and say, hey, I remember we did this in training, but holy crap, it was 3 years ago, and I don't remember anything. I'm going to need somebody to coach me. And so they can do that, but you also have procedures that are very clear with lots of pictures, kind of like putting something together from IKEA. And you're tasked with being smart enough to figure it out. Now, it didn't always go well, when you had to call down a lot. And sometimes I remember we would have discussions about the use of tools. And what I would call, now I won't even be able to think of the tool that I have in my garage at home, that NASA named it something differently. And it was like, well, what the hell are you talking about? What tool is that? And then after about 20 minutes of discussion, you go, oh, you mean the pliers? pliers, you know. And
yep.
Those things were very frustrating because the NASA regulation and the NASA way had a lot of technical terms and technical names for things that you and I would, recognize as, hey, that's a hammer, you know.
Yep.
But NASA would call it, that's a metal-ended whacking device or whatever they would say.
Very scientific.
Yeah, and so sometimes that was a problem. So with good communication, some pretty solid training, and systems that are built to be repaired, to be worked on, that takes a lot of the anxiety out. And they don't do it perfectly, but they do a pretty good job.
All right, so what's your first, the first time you went into space and you went on a mission as an astronaut, what was that like for you? How cool was that? And what are some of the coolest memories that you have from things that you've seen from space?
Well, I think that the first trip was probably the most monumental, but I also had the most anxiety. I knew I was going to be away from my wife and kids for at least 5 months and maybe longer. And I had no idea what the outcome would be. So at that time, my anxiety was a little higher. But once I got into space, the first thing I remember is that when you finally see the Earth through the window, it's so bright. I mean, the light that comes from the sun that's reflected off the Earth is so bright, it's just incredible. You can't even describe it. And that calms down for you for a while, right? And you go, oh, yeah, I've seen that before. But then I remember the first time I flew over Houston and the Gulf Coast, which I was pretty familiar with that coastline and things, I looked down through the window and I thought, wow, that looks familiar. I wonder where that is. And then it didn't take me but another 3 minutes to go, holy crap, that was Houston. Well, you look back in the window and it's been long gone for those 3 minutes. And the final one I would tell you about is the first time I was going to fly over Nebraska that I knew of, right? That I knew we were going to fly over in about 25 minutes. I set timers. I put camera gear in the window well so that I would have it all ready with batteries charged, with telephoto lenses, with all the stuff I needed to capture the classic photography of where I grew up, right? And as I looked through the window, which looked directly at Earth, I had to lean down and look to the edge of the glass and try to figure out where we were over the United States, because it's not that easy when you're looking at a third of the planet. And so I looked for the Missouri River, and I looked for dammed lakes that were on the Missouri River such that I could get my eyeball to the squiggly line between Iowa and Nebraska. If I found the squiggly line, I was pretty certain I could maybe find Omaha or Lincoln or the Platte River. And those cities look like big gray brown blobs. They're not very significant to the human eye in terms of detail, like between bright green grass, blue water, and brown soil. And so as I got closer, and I knew I was close enough to figure out that there was the Omaha gray blob, and I looked a little to the southwest and saw the Lincoln gray blob, and then I saw the south bend of the Platte River, so I knew I was looking at Ashland. But I did not capture one single picture that day because I started to cry. And I was crying in space 240 miles above the place where I grew up with the people that raised me and the folks that were important to me in my early life. And all I could think of was that how important that was to me and how emotional it was that I had finally made it to outer space. And so I cried for about 5 minutes and never took one picture.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I'm joined on the Aloe Fiber VIP line by a Nebraska native of Ashland, all right, and an astronaut, Clayton Anderson. All right, one more question I've got to ask you, because I've, you know, the movie Gravity, Sandra Bullock, you're like out there floating around in space. No, dude, that scene alone freaked me out. Okay, so like, is that even possible? Like, if you got somehow lost contact, like physical a grip on the spaceship that you're on and you're out there in space, like what exactly would happen? Can you, like, is there a blaster that blasts you back to the spaceship, or how does that work?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't scream like Sandra Bullock did. what happened in that movie, in that scene alone, made it a good comedy for an astronaut watching it. But we do have a backpack. It's called a SAFER, a simplified aid for EVA rescue. So that's your aid to rescue you during the spacewalk. So if you have tethers and everything to keep you attached to your spaceship, but if something totally crappy happened and you were falling off and had nothing attaching you to the spaceship, you can turn on or activate your backpack and you get one shot to fly back to your spaceship. And we practiced that on virtual reality in Houston, and we practiced it for quite some time. And the way they would make you practice was, first they would push you off the station at a very small rate, right? So it was easy to activate the machine and fly it back. But then the better you got, the harder they made it. And so then they'd make you tumble and they'd push you away at a faster velocity. So eventually you were flipping circles and spinning and twisting and going away really fast. And then you had to follow the procedure they'd taught you to activate your backpack. And then with a limited amount of fuel, learn how to fly it back so you could safely reattach. Unfortunately, that's never happened to anybody, but it has been tested in space a little bit. So I would assume it works.
All right. So I have to ask the question, what happens if you try to get back to your spaceship and you're on your one shot and you don't make it? Like, what happens then?
That's a pretty depressing day, I would imagine.
Well, yes. I don't know. How's that work?
Well, if it's possible, you know, something could unattach from the space station, or maybe you fell off the shuttle and maybe they could fly and get back to you where you're close enough to have another chance. But that in and of itself is a pretty big accomplishment. So I would say if you've exhausted your fuel on your little fly machine and you see the space station get smaller and smaller, then it's time to see if you still have communication with the ground and tell your family you love them and that it's been great knowing them.
All right, we'll talk about something a little bit more uplifting because you're from Ashland, Nebraska, as we mentioned. All right, big-time Husker fan. All right, so I assume the Husker fan connection comes from growing up in Ashland, in Nebraska. Okay, if I'm wrong, let me know. But what are some of your favorite memories from growing up watching the Huskers, Nebraska football?
Well, we didn't get to watch a lot because in those days there were only certain games that were on TV. But what I do remember is that Dad always had his transistor radio going on Saturdays, and we were always listening to Lyle Bramser, and we were glued to the radio, and unless we were playing Army and it was 77-0, and then we didn't really care anymore. But then my brother and I would immediately after the game, which was usually a victory, we would go outside in the front street in front of our house, and we would start to throw the football, catch the football, kick the football. He and I would become punters in college, which was kind of cool. But we did all that every single game that we could if the weather was permitting. The one game that I do remember with great memories is the Oklahoma game of the century. It was Thanksgiving. We were at my grandmother's house. We were in the basement. All the adult men were watching this game on I don't remember if it was color, but it was probably black and white TV. And my brother and I were sitting there watching this, and oh my gosh, it was so excited when Johnny Rogers took that punt and took it to the house, and when we came back and beat Jack Mildren and all those amazing players. That was one of my fondest Husker memories. So nobody can forget the game of the century, I don't think.
Yeah, that's pretty memorable, no doubt. It's interesting. My in-laws, they've had a farm in their family for 110 years now. Okay, they just celebrated that. But my wife, her brothers, my father-in-law, like, they'd be out in the field listening to the game on the radio, you know, usually in the tractor or in the combine or whatever they were doing at that point in time. So it's very common thread, I think, for a lot of people across Nebraska who were around back in those days listening and following to Husker games. Did you have a particular, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 favorite Huskers over the years?
I did. One of my coolest recent memories is I was playing in the Larry the Cable Guy celebrity golf tournament. You know, he has a dinner and an event with some auction items and things. And I was sitting at a table eating my dinner, and a huge man comes up to me, and it was Jeff Kinney. And he says, "Clayton." And I looked up and I go, "Holy crap, that's Jeff Kinney." And he goes, "I just wanted to say that it's an honor to meet you." And I'm thinking, an honor to meet me? Are you kidding me? you're number 35. I mean, holy, I watched you forever and I wanted to be like you. And so for him to do that was really, really special to me. And I've had the opportunity to meet Johnny the Jet and Mike Rozier and Eric Crouch, the Heisman winners. I've had the opportunity to meet other Huskers down the line, which has been a true honor for me. In addition to the fact that I can now call Coach Osborne a friend, I always knew who he was, but I don't know if he knew who I was until I became an astronaut. But I have great, great memories, and I love the Huskers, and I believe they're on their way back, and I will always be a Husker fan. And there is a big red N somewhere inside the International Space Station today that the only person knows its whereabouts is me.
That's awesome. Oh, wasn't there like a buried jersey in like the Boston Red Sox or Yankees jersey in the Boston Red Sox baseball stadium somewhere, and they uncovered it a few years ago or something like that? That's awesome.
The problem with my and though is if the station ever deorbits, it'll be fried, but I know where it is, and I could point anybody to get there, but I haven't done that yet. So,
all right, last question. All right, Matt Rhule, you mentioned the future of Nebraska football. You feel good about it. What are your thoughts on Matt Rhule, Dylan Raiola, and the season coming up this fall?
Well, you know, it's interesting to be back in Nebraska where that focus and that discussion is all at the forefront, right? And when you live in Texas, you don't hear about the Huskers unless you specifically reach out to somebody. So I'm pretty excited. I watched Matt Rhule teams at Baylor when my son played for the Cyclones at Iowa State. And I think that he's a good choice, and I'm really hopeful that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. You know, last year I thought they were, oh gosh, just inches away in several instances with making a poor season into a better season. I'm excited about the Raiola lad. I think that if he's all that they say he is, and he does what he's supposed to do, he could be a huge asset for us. And I just like the positive attitude, right? I'm a big believer in you got to work hard. You got to have the right attitude. You can't be this, I'm on a pedestal, I'm better than you mentality. And I think that Coach Rhule brings that to the Huskers. And perhaps we've needed that for a little while. I get to meet him pretty soon in the teammates golf classic. So I'm excited about that. I've not shaken his hand and talked to him before. So that will be fun for me as well. But I'm optimistic for this season.
All right, my friend, I appreciate you joining me, and thanks for taking the time.
Anytime, sir, and I look forward to the next time our paths cross as well.
Yep, I look forward to that as well. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.